Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, welcome to the Junk Time Alpha podcast for round 6, 2023. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who has been sacked once again, this time as Harry Mackay's kicking coach. It is Adam Rosenbarks.
G'day, Michael. G'day, Junk Timers. Yes, we come to you off the back of Anzac Day on the Wednesday after the two massive games that we saw. I was going to say commemorating the Anzacs, and we'll get to that shortly. But once again, I've lost yet another job, and I was pretty chuffed to be, you know, down at being asked to come down to Carlton.
Yeah,
Rosie, we know you're fucking, you're a bit of a sharp shooter.
You are. You're so the you're the Eddie Betts of the podcast game.
I am. They said, come on down and we need you to help us out, to straighten us up. I mean, not many people know this, but I was the man who, as a youngster, spent a lot of time in Ballarat with Tony Lockett.
Mm-hmm.
And people forget that. You know, yep. I grew up in Queensland with Jason Dunstall.
Yep.
People don't know that. I keep it to myself. I don't need
yep.
people to hear about that.
For sure. You know? For sure. You were big in the 30s. Bob Pratt, you kind of helped him through.
Yeah, absolutely. Pratty. Coleman. I was there with Coleman. I said, mate, just fucking kick him through the two big white things, big fella. And he did. So I knew all that sort of stuff. So ipso facto, that's why Carlton got me down there. And I just say to Harry, I said, mate, what are you doing? He's trying these drop punts.
Yep.
And they're skewing left and right. Mm. And I said, and then he's going with these hook kicks around the body. I said, mate, you never go around the body. You do what I say. You walk. So you make it look. So you take the mark. You clunk the mark.
Clunk.
Right? You put the big jukes up. Yep. You clunk it. Now, as you turn your... Now, immediately, as I say with any young goal kicker, turn your back to goals. Do not look
perfect
at anyone else who might be in a better position.
Perfect. Perfect. If you're on angle, always turn your back, walk back with
turn
confidence to make the kick as
yeah.
difficult as possible, and also make sure that yeah. all of your teammates are manned up mm. in that little short walk towards the boundary.
Yeah, that's right. And if there are people who, you know, maybe have been free, they're not going to be free. And that means that you have to have the shot at goal
yep.
by yourself. You've got to take it, you know, on your shoulders. This is a one, this is your forward line. You've got to own it.
Uh-huh.
Do not, none of this, mate, if there's a mate who's in what you would call, other people would call Joe the Goose, I say don't give it to them. I say make it a really hard over the fucking shoulder kick for yourself
yep.
rather than giving an easy handball.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what no one likes is an easy path in life.
No,
Michael.
Awful. I actually am surprised the number of mm-hmm. times that players have been given the Joe the Goose and then
yeah.
have
and
not
then
actually and not actually handballed it back over the top and go, no,
yeah,
I reject this Joe the Goose.
Yeah, yep.
Give back the Joe the Goose because I don't want this
yeah.
cheap, dirty stat that's going to just fucking help someone's super coach team.
Well, because, you know, you remember when you were younger and you'd see a Joe the Goose and you're like, you'd be asking as a child, innocently, before you knew what Joe the Goose was, you'd be asking around going, do I write that down in the record, Mum and Dad? Like, is that a real goal? Because it just seemed like that cheap fucking forward running motherfucker has just gotten himself an easy, and I wouldn't even call it a goal.
We'll get back to Harry Mackay's kicking woes in a moment, but can we talk about the
Please.
Origins of Joe the Goose? Like, who was Joe the Goose? How did Joe the Goose come about? Like, I've just come off a comedy festival show doing a story about the history of Australian rules.
Yep.
I read a number of books. I scoured the internet. At no stage was there any articles from the 1910s talking about the a player called Joe the Goose. I'm trying to work out the origins of that.
Well, I'm assuming that it was, and I think we did work this out on the podcast many years ago, that it was loose. You're Joe the Goose, you're loose.
Okay, I'm going to type it into Google right now, Joe the Goose. Okay,
Google. Wow, I wonder what this is going to bring you up. Is this sort of like, was there a Nazi who used to like the goose step called Joe?
Joe the Goose, Australian rules football, a goal scored by a player who received a handball in the goal square and is without an opponent close to them, often said disparagingly as they are considered by many to be simple goals to score. And actually, it's purely an Australian rules term, actually. All the references here for Joe the Goose are Australian rules references.
Well, I mean, our game was built around getting an easy handball in the goal square. I mean, Tom Wills, what did you say they scored in the first game? Two goals? I think both of them.
Joe the Gooses.
Even though they were days apart, they were Joe the Gooses.
Anyway, Harry McKay. So he's got the yips. He's got the yips. It's in his head now.
Mate, it's well and truly in his head. So, as I said, when you get the big jukes up and you clunk a mark, turn your back to everyone, turn your back to goals, and here's where you're going to trick everyone. This is what I said to him to do, is to toss the ball up, back still to goal, and then scissor kick it over your head.
Yep.
Because not only are you a good chance to kick a goal, because they are very accurate ways of kicking, but you're also putting yourself up for goal of the year every time you have a shot at goal. And he hasn't gone with that. He's gone with his stupid round the corners. He's gone with the drop punts that never hit the target. And you can tell, like, it's amazing when you see someone get the yips because they want to fucking just, they want to dish the ball off. He does not want to take shots at goal. Yeah. And what is really great as a Carlton supporter is the fact that we've signed him up to 2030. So we've got 7 more years of watching him mentally melt down as the ball lands in his hand and the umpire pays him a mark and he sees those fucking sticks and he goes, oh, I can't do this.
It actually is a very interesting thing by the fact that you have had players over the journey, or not you, you know, I'm not saying Carlton, but like players over the journey who definitely do have the yips, and how you can actually kind of try and break them out of that. Also by the fact, I think we mentioned last week, by the fitness people, like, don't want them having multiple shots at goal. Like, don't want them doing 50, 100 after training or whatever. So I actually would be genuinely fascinated if he's at a sports psych, like nowadays, trying to get that out of his head. But then on top of that, if you go to a sports psych for the yips, then you go, well, fuck, I'm at a sports psych for the yips. Whenever I get the ball, it's fucking in my head again. Like, how do you cure that problem?
Yes, it's like a vicious circle, isn't it? Because it's a sports psych talking in your head going, hey, remember to breathe because you got the fucking yips, mate.
Also, like, it's funny, like, the idea of a sports psych who probably, you know, has gone through maybe various degrees, maybe even have a PhD, and then they're sitting in front of a player going, talk about the yips. It's like, I wanted to talk about something a bit deeper about here, mate.
Yeah, imagine you're going to, I think that was one of the lesser read chapters in Freud's masters. When he got to the yips and he goes, oh, that's because you're in love with your mum, mate. And you're like, whoa, I fucking what? He goes, oh, mate, you want to have sex with your mum, you're thinking about that as you're coming in for goal, and then you spray it off to the left and you're like, oh,
dude, you're looking at
sexy when I was younger.
You're looking at two goalposts. That's a metaphor for two enormous penises right there.
Yeah, you fucking, it's in your head, buddy. You've got the yips. You know what? Because probably the most recent, I suppose, proponent of the yips would have been, I guess, in our sort of, in the, you know, the last 10 years, would have been Travis Cloke. So it was a thumping kick, but, you know, you couldn't always rely on him.
Yep.
But here's the thing, that the crowd of the opposition don't really get in their head. Like, that would be a great time to start going, yip, 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 yip. Like, if you reminded this player that he's got the fucking yips while he's got the yips, I mean, forget booing. You want to get into someone's kitchen. You are right there.
Get in the shoebox, I think you'll find. So so Stevie J, I kind of picture Stevie J as being the founding father of the round the corner. Now, was that a yip-related thing, or was that just Stevie being Stevie, do you think?
Oh, excellent Stevie J brain question without notice.
Question without notice. Because even in the case of, I can remember the 2011 grand final when Tom Hawkins like clunked a whole bunch of contested marks in that second half. Yep. And then he kind of had half of yips by the fact he kept on getting the marks, but he kept on missing. And so there was literally that one goal where Stevie J essentially was like, give the fucking ball to me,
right,
and I'm going to kick it.
Yes, he was standing right next to him. Yeah, look, I would imagine with Stevie J, it just would have been probably, because I remember Stevie J as being quite a good kick, but I imagine it was probably just a comfort thing where he just goes, you know what, this is 100%, whereas a drop punt might be 80, so I'll just do that. But Harry McKay, so he kicked one, so you wouldn't have seen the game against St Kilda, which Carlton lost terribly. He had a shot from his favoured pocket and he did the round the corner. He hit the post. Okay. Then St Kilda kicked out and H marked that. So he had the exact same attempt from almost an identical spot and he rushed it so quickly that he almost, and it's not a joke, almost hit the roof at Marvel. He shanked it so badly.
Yeah, gotcha, gotcha.
Yeah.
All I'm hearing is the wheels have fallen off at Carlton. You're now eighth, okay? You started promisingly. Got off to a great start with a draw. And you're looking up. And the Carlton fans have been up and about. They have been up and about for a fair while now.
See, I reckon you ask a true Carlton fan, someone who was there in 2013 when we hadn't scored a goal against Fremantle at Marvel. I don't reckon they ever thought the wheels were on.
Oh, no.
You know, the fact that we didn't make the finals last year.
There's been a lot of bluster from the Carlton fans. We're BIT. We're back in town. A lot of talk. Now we've got to round six. What are you? Three and a half. So you're 14 points.
Yes.
So you're bottom of the eight. Okay. Now, is it time to possibly sack the coach?
I long
for the John Elliott days.
I think we have kind of reached that point, you know. Like David Teague lasted just on two seasons, and that was awkward. So I reckon, you know, the one thing that a Carlton are good at is if they are going to sack the coach now, that everyone would accept it and be like, oh yeah, they've decided to move on. So let's just pull the Band-Aid off and get on with it.
I actually have genuinely forgotten that David Teague was the coach. Actually, that is quite remarkable how quickly I forgot that. And actually,
I can't ever forget that.
Was I reading today about Brendan Bolton being coach of Carlton? I was like, oh, dude, I actually even forgot that. Like, wow, you've gone through a lot, haven't you?
All right, mate. Yes, we have. But you haven't lived the experiences that I've lived, so.
So, did you go to the Blues game?
No, it was my final comedy festival show, and I was a bit touch and go with my voice, and I was like, if I go to that game, and I know that, and you just know with a Ross Lyon game, if you can't get through his the squeezing of the ground, if you want to call it, I won't call it a flood because it's not a complete flood, but just the way they manufacture it, if you can't get through that, it is so frustrating to watch, and it was at home, I had to turn it off.
Okay.
That you just go, I'm just going to lose my voice screaming my fucking head off at the ground.
Yeah, sure. I actually get to go this weekend. I haven't gone yet. I've been in Melbourne the whole time. And I actually get to go this. I actually am genuinely excited. So,
and are you going to go to a decent game?
Well, it'll be Hawthorn Bulldogs. So the traditional football time of 4:35 on Saturday afternoon. But I actually went so far in that I actually looked up Marvel Stadium's menu before and looking at the gluten-free options. And so I can get a gluten-free sandwich herb flavour, which I don't really know what that means. I can get a
That's very vague, isn't it?
Yeah, I can get a chicken burrito bowl. Get a gluten-free pie, get gluten-free frothy. But I actually generally actually very excited. And I think I get to go, I think Melbourne plays Hawthorn in round 9, I think, on the Saturday. So I have a day off then too as well. So I'm trying to bank as many as I can while I'm down here. But I'm actually generally excited to go.
And what are your thoughts on Hawthorn? Before we go on, because, we'll talk about the Saints in a second, how kind of good they were, I thought, on the weekend. Mm-hmm. But what are your thoughts on Hawthorn? Are you just resigned to... Did you want them to beat Adelaide on the weekend? So they were about 13 points up, I think, with a couple of minutes to go.
Yeah,
and kind of threw it away. Is that your favourite kind of loss this season?
No, look, I want them to win. I remember Clarko saying back in the dark days when he took over, back in 05, that he was like, we're not tanking. Like, even though we finished, like, you know, maybe... percent, we never got a spoon in those first couple of years under Clarko, but we finished low. And his take is like, you want to teach them to win. So I want them to get the wins, even though you kind of, you know, you'll move up the ladder and whatever. The second coming of Christ is apparently going to be the number one pick this year. But no, you want to teach people how to win. And also they need to learn how to win as well. So when they get to that final 3 minutes, they go, this is what we do. We move people here, there. And that's how we win the game. So we've had a tight one against the Giants, tight one against... Adelaide. But yeah, you want to get a winning culture in there. Because, mate, as my old footy coach at St Mary's used to tell us, hey, best first year player, 1998, if I remember correctly. 1999, I think. Winner's piss.
Mate, it's your story.
Winner's piss tastes better than loser's piss.
Jesus Christ. That is a new one.
But you went on.
You know what I'd like to do though. I'd like to get that coach, and I'd like to do. Remember those they used to do it with Pepsi and Coke, the blind taste test.
Yeah, sure. Taste winners' piss and losers' piss.
We got two sample beakers here, and he's holding them. He goes, "Fuck, they're warm. They're like, mate, they are fresh." We just went into each club room, and you don't know which one is which. But you have a little bit of a sip, and you tell me which one was a joyful fucking piss.
That's what I want to hear on, like, you know when they do, like, the preamble for the grand final? Like, they build up the guy that grabbed
September, it's the greatest month of the world.
It's just like, it's just work that into an AFL promo. It's just like, winner's piss tastes better than loser's piss.
How is that not a lyric in a Mike Brady song? You know, you got the foam coming out of the top of the cup. Oh. It's just a great image. It's just great. Hey, before we roll on with the show, we just want to thank all the Junk Timers and everyone who came along to our shows during the Comedy Festival. Massively appreciated. So great to see so many faces. And, yeah, it was really fun.
It was very kind of you all, actually. I actually got my mum and dad. Mum and dad came, actually, on Saturday over to my one. And I...
Yeah, you spoke about it in the last podcast, how your dad is not the most cluey person when it comes to watching that kind of thing.
Or following a narrative. Yeah. So they came on, actually. It worked a treat by the fact that there was actually a couple of stories I cut out, which I could tell, and by the fact, you know, they're there, and so therefore people, like, laugh more. But, actually, and it was genuinely like a show he actually completely understood. But I didn't get any notes afterwards, actually, which I was happy about by the fact he didn't. There were no corrections, and my fact-checking was, you know, up to scratch, I think.
Could you see your parents?
I could, yeah, by the fact that it's 4 p.m., so there's still a bit of daylight in the room. There was a guy who looked like Max Gorn. And there was a few Junk Timers, and... it was happening, man. It was a happening.
You know, my mum has never seen me do stand-up.
That I was about to ask, because you said your dad came to your show, but your mum
Tommy
didn't.
Came along.
Yeah.
But no.
And is that like, you doesn't want to, or you kind of go, not for you? Are you like a don't swear in front of your parents kind of thing?
Yes. Yeah. No, I don't swear in front of mum. So she, I think she's heard me swear only a couple of times. And so she doesn't think you don't need to be clever to be swear. And I say, well, you're fucking wrong, mum.
Yeah, sure.
Funny when I'm swearing. And also she probably doesn't listen to the Junk Time AFL podcast.
Yeah, sure.
I haven't asked her.
So
I haven't seen her with a footbridge stubby holder.
Yeah, sure. So when she talks about the Gatorade shower, do you ever correct her or do you?
No, I let that go. Yeah. I've never heard her call the postie a low dog cunt.
Giving the postie a jumper punch?
A jumper punch, yeah. She's never given one of those. But but again, thank you, Junk Timers. We really love it when you come out, and thanks for supporting us.
Hey, so you went on Monday night, actually. And the pregame, I actually really enjoy Monday night. Like, they do it fucking very well, don't they?
Yeah, so I had never kind of witnessed it in person, but obviously... Tuesday, the Anzac Day clash between Essendon and Collingwood is the big one, the one that they really talk up. But I've got to say, from a visual perspective, being at the MCG, when they turn the big towers off and everyone's just holding their phones up and they're walking around with the torch, it's fucking incredible. Yeah. The MCG looks amazing. And it's just, I think, visually, I just think it's a better... moment.
Yeah, yeah. It reminds me like when Bray Wyatt would enter in the WWE and they turn the lights off and people would hone up their phones and it's like they were the fireflies in the... I'm waiting for you to cut me off right now to kind of...
So right now you just wish that you're on the beaches of Gallipoli. Just go... Like if you were in the trenches talking about that, you just go, you know what, I'm going to run up. I'm going to go. I'm going to volunteer. I reckon I could take that bluff.
I'm 14. I'm going to change my age.
Yeah, I'm going to get up there.
Well, I actually win war history. I mean, actually, in relative terms compared to your German background and my Irish background, but like the I win by the fact my grandfather was actually at Gallipoli. And your grandfather did horrible things. But he got there. He got there in August. So he wasn't there on Anzac Day itself, but he got there from August until the retreat in December.
Oh, okay. He got there for the easy bit, did he?
Yeah, sure. I'm sure it was fucking crazy, yeah.
So I just thought, as a spectacle, I thought that Monday looked better just because it was at night and it just... It was just eerie. It was fucking great. It was a really good job.
Yep, yep. And so you went to the Melbourne President's Dinner, is that right?
Yes, I was there with a friend of the show, Titus O'Reilly, yep. And he had a table, and Mick Molloy also had a table, so we were all there, and it was fun. It's just fun because Richmond came out of the blocks and were leading at halftime, and Molloy was very happy with himself at halftime, and then, of course, it fell apart, which was great.
Now, am I right?
But it's so lovely to be. I love being in the president's function. It's just good to be with rank and file, you know, Melbourne supporters, Michael.
I do love it that you do kind of, I'm the fucking private school bloke. But, like, you're the one who fucking hobnobs. Like, I went to a president's dinner, like, maybe in 2014. But you seem to be at one, like, every fucking second week. Hanging out with Carltonians and shit like that.
But also,
like, a Melbourne president's dinner, I imagine, yeah, there's got to be an entry-level kind of, I earn $2 million a year to kind of go in there, surely.
You know what, though? This one was kind of, and I don't know why, but it was a little bit more low-key. Like, the dress code was just smart casual. So it wasn't even suit and tie. Mm-hmm. So it was actually a little bit like, hey, it's a Monday night. We're going out there. You know, we're celebrating the Anzacs. And it was just a little bit more low-key than the ones I've been to before, which I have been to ones which are particularly stuffy and everyone's in a suit. And you're sure. Just like, oh, it's like, so fucking uncomfortable at the footy.
It's like top and tail. So essentially, like,
yes.
So Monday night was more like Monday night. Usually the Melbourne President's Dinner is like kind of like when Leonardo DiCaprio on the Titanic has like the formal dinner in first class. And then Monday night was more like they were doing the Irish dancing below deck with Kate.
Look, I would love to help you out with your Titanic analogy.
Have you never seen that film?
I've not seen it.
Dude.
I've not seen that film.
Have you? God, dude, you got to watch that. Like, I get your fucking, I don't watch Harry Potter and Star Wars because I'm an adult. Like, okay, fine. Yeah. Okay, sure, fine. But, like, it's actually difficult to avoid Titanic.
It felt like a weird date movie. And it wasn't, you know what, I watched the trailer to it recently. I can't remember why I came about it, but I was like, oh, maybe I should have a look at the trailer. And I didn't realize that there's like a villain on there and there's, sorry to spoilers, but there's like a shootout and stuff and there's a bit going on the boat.
Yeah, sure. And there's like a Death Star and it's like there's like a section in Hogwarts. Like you'd really enjoy it.
It's not one of those films for me, man. I don't need to see a boat go down.
Am I right that given your adventures in Iraq and Afghanistan, going to do comedy there, am I right that you're allowed to march in the Anzac Day?
I am 100% allowed to march, yes, that is right. That is one of the things that came out of me being a part of the, because there's an arm called the Forces Entertainment, mm-hmm. and I was in that battalion, if you will, and so I'm allowed to march.
Have you ever taken anyone? I imagine you haven't taken up on that, but has anyone else taken up on that? Like,
yeah, a lot of people, particularly in Sydney, and I think a fair few of the band members, because you know, I think particularly around the Vietnam War, it actually became quite a thing that you know these people would go over there, and then they would be like, "Yeah, we're really proud to have served over there."
Yeah,
and I'm not saying I'm not doing it because I'm not proud. I would just be embarrassed for myself to be like, "Hey, I don't belong with these people, you know. Well, I went over and I helped them out, but I certainly don't. I'm not at their level and I don't think I am."
But I actually think that might be part of the point by the fact that I reckon, like, I actually kind of go, yeah, the band members, like, you know, people have done proper time and the like and, you know, and back in the day also, like, providing proper entertainment where, you know, nowadays I imagine if you're on a base, though, you have the internet, therefore you're not, you know, like, completely oblivious and...
Oh, slumming it. Yeah.
But I feel like there's a bit of a... If the comedian shows up, it's like, yeah, told 25 dick jokes in Afghanistan, in Kabul. You know, really proud of myself. Like, kind of a bit of, like, not quite on the same level, if you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think there is a little bit of that. You know, comedians are very self-deprecating, so, you know, most of them won't put themselves forward for that kind of stuff. But the people that you go over to, like, the ones who are serving, they are super appreciative that you've made that effort to go over there.
Yep.
Like you certainly get a sense of that when you're there, that they're like, because they're there for like 10 months of the year, and the ones in the war zones, they're stuck on the base, basically. You can't just go out and go to a, you know, leave the base and go to High Point.
Yep.
Like, you are stuck on the base and everything the base offers, and you work your shift, and then all you got to do is fucking watch movies or play PlayStation or go to the gym because that's why they're all jacked and there's nothing else to do.
Yeah, gotcha. How big would a base be? Like, can you kind of comparatively, like, put it in a football ground perspective? Like, how big would a base be?
It would be, so say you got the MCG, probably like about, like 10 to 15 MCG. So you're looking at, because most of them are Air Force bases. Mm-hmm. So where we were in Kabul, you're on the Kabul International Airport. It was called Kaya. And then actually the base that we're on in Iraq was called Taji, which was Saddam Hussein's old base. And that's where the Republican Guard were based. And so there's like a, you know, a couple of runways there, and then where all his troops would have been based. And we got to go out to like the old tank graveyard. So all the tanks that Saddam used during the war that got blown apart, they parked them all there, and we got to climb over those and jump in them. And it was pretty, it was like sort of exciting. And then you're like, oh, I reckon a fair few people died in these.
Yeah, sure. Poor way for them.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And do you, are you kind of on edge when you're there?
Yes, in Afghanistan, 100% on edge. So when you arrive, they say to you, so the base is particularly in Kandahar and Kabul, surrounded by mountains. And so they will explain to you, you know, there's rocket attacks on the base. The Taliban fire rockets in from the mountains all the time. And when that happens, an alarm will sound and they say, you got 8 seconds to either get on the ground or get yourself into a bomb shelter, which are everywhere, these big concrete sort of structures. But they say to you, if you're on the ground and you haven't got yourself in a bomb shelter, make sure your feet are facing the mountains, right? And you're kind of like, oh, I wonder why they want that. And then you work it out. It's because they want your feet blown off and not your head.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So you can see like all the pockmarks on the bomb shelters and around the kind of they're called T-walls, these concrete walls they have everywhere. They're just pockmarked from where rockets have come in, landed, and sent the shrapnel upwards.
Yeah, gotcha.
So you're very, very aware. And I think I've told this story on the show before, but when we were in Kabul, after I'd finished my spot at the Kaya base, there was a rocket attack after I'd finished up.
Yeah.
So I was standing at the back, and there was a band on, and then the music cut out, and I was like, oh, you know, third world country, probably electricity's dropped out, and then everyone just started screaming rocket attack. And so everyone hit the ground, and I was like, at first I was like, oh, maybe everyone doesn't hit the ground, you know, it's just something they tell civilians to spook us. Then I saw the SAS hit the ground. I'm like, oh, maybe I will. Maybe I will lie on the ground. And so you're lying on the ground just thinking you're going to die. Like that was going through my head. It was just like, you're going to fucking die, mate. Yeah. Here we go.
That is quite fascinating if you're a performer and literally...
Mate.
You can't... I mean, performers take everything personally, but it's like our music sucks so much that the Taliban tried to bomb us to make us stop playing.
I used to talk... it was a joke in my stand-up. It was like, oh, it's good to know that the Taliban hate Alanis Morissette too, because they were playing You Ought to Know. So they weren't big fans of theirs. But, mate, the adrenaline after that, so that was fucking... It was like properly terrifying.
Yep.
Like, and you know how they say when you have your life flash before your eyes, like when you think you're about to die? Mm-hmm. And all I had in my head was just me berating myself for being there. Just going, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, sure.
You wanted to be a hero to be over here and look at you, you're about to fucking die. And it was like that was going to be my last living moments, were just me getting stuck into myself.
I would have thought it'd be like all these good memories, but all of them weirdly stop at 1995. Hey, can we talk quickly about Anzac Day? We'll wrap it up shortly. We actually got no footballers in real life, dudes. Maybe that's the public holidays adventures. People gone away for long weekends or something. But we don't have any footballers in real life. Let's just make up fictional footballers in real life about things we've seen. Like Bob Pratt. I saw Bob Pratt down the road the other day. Yeah. No, he's looking good for 132.
He does all right.
But, let me get your opinion on the bloke yesterday, the Collingwood fan, okay? So it was Carl Langford, if I remember correctly. Collingwood fan was about to hand him the ball and then drop it on the ground and then did that fist thing, like whatever, mate.
They're up yours.
With the hand, the fist. And then Kyle actually, to his credit, kicked the goal and then went back and pointed and was like, yeah, good on you, mate. But in my head, is this too far? But I reckon that guy should be immediately kicked out of the ground. He should be immediately kicked out.
Yeah, see, so the thing I was thinking about it when I first saw it is you don't see it that often because it's very rare that the players need to get the ball back from the crowd now. It either goes out of bounds, in which case they throw it to the umpire, or if it goes through for a goal or a point, obviously, then there's another ball there. Yep. So it's very rare they've got to wait on the crowd.
Yep.
I didn't mind him dropping the ball. The sticking your fist up to someone.
Yeah.
Like imagine you're at a pub with someone.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they fucking drop their wallet and you pick it up and then they go to get it off you and you just drop it and do the double fist pump. You'd be like, mate, I am letting you know that I'm about to glass you. Like, go fuck yourself. Like just one adult doing that to another adult.
Yeah, yeah.
And then doing that up yours. You're just like, unnecessarily to do that. That is where I drew the line. The dropping the ball, I thought that was kind of funny because, you know, it's opposition not helping you out. But to go, hey, go fuck yourself at the same time.
Yeah, sure,
you're
sure.
Like, come on, mate.
I mean, there's a few kind of, they're almost cute moments where like the ball boy in like soccer will throw the ball, you know, away or something. And it's like, hey. Like, and I feel like that's kind of cute by the fact it's a child. But like when it's like a grown adult doing that, it's like, and yes. Actually when I watched the footage, I actually watched the footage a couple of times because
so you could get yourself more outraged.
No, just by the fact I was like, I really hope he's not sitting next to a kid, so not their son or daughter, because I was like, if you're a fucking dad and you did that in front of your child, like I fear for the future of that child. Like I was like, and he sat next to adults, so I was like, okay. Okay, there are no children there. But you were on fucking TV, and I imagine your kids at home watching it going, oh, there's Dad. Hey, there's Dad. Oh, Dad. Look, yeah. Dad's... Dad just did that.
Mate.
Oh, Dad just...
It's a Collingwood supporter. Like, his kid would have been going, is that my dad? Is that my real dad? Do you know him, Mum?
It's Dad. I didn't know he got released.
Is he on parole? I didn't think his anklet could go into the MCG. But there must be, because there are people who act like complete and utter fuckwits at the footy who would take their kids. And imagine, like, as a kid, first off, like, unless you become like the dad, in which case you've just seen the behaviour and thought that is how people act, there must be kids out there who are like, oh, fuck, Dad's kicking off again.
Yeah, sure.
This is embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah. Dad's already, like, had 7 mid-strengths. And I know his income. He can't afford that.
I know where this goes.
I remember seeing a horrible one at the I went to a Melbourne Storm game in Sydney about 2011, I reckon. And who were they playing? West Tigers. And I'd never been to a rugby match and I wanted to go to like to an old suburban ground as well.
Yeah.
So I went to Leichhardt Stadium and the Storm were coming off and I heard this bloke and I kind of was at the what do you call it? The race.
Players race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were coming off. They had a pretty comfortable win, I think. And I heard this bloke over my shoulder kind of like, let's get stuck into him. And he started going, yeah, effing cheating C's. Just like screaming for like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And then I looked over my shoulder, I was like, whoa. And then he walked off laughing with his mate. And he had like a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old holding his hand. I was like, nah, mate, you don't do that at all.
Nah, when I was at the football in London, I went and saw Fulham play Birmingham.
Oh, yeah.
And it was at Craven Cottage. So it was when Mohamed El Fayed owned the team. Yeah. And so we were in at Craven Cottage and we couldn't get tickets into the Fulham section at the time. Now, I was staying in Fulham, which is why we went there. And so we're in there. So we had to stand in the Birmingham section. And I've never been more terrified at a game of sport in my life. And there were these blokes behind me, these massive dudes all in black with big gold chains with a B on them.
Yep.
And they were calling every time they'd announce the opposition, the Fulham players' names, they would call them cunts. And they're standing there with their kids. And you're just like every player. And you're just like, oh, wow.
Dude, nuts. I remember a mate of mine went to an EPL game. I don't remember the teams, but, and he was a neutral, obviously, but like the fans were separated. And the team he was walking with were actually walking in the wrong direction to where he wanted to go to the tube to get home. And so he said to a cop, actually, I need to get onto the other side. And he was like, well, you know what you're getting into. And he's like, maybe I kind of don't, and then he kind of walked into the other group of supporters to head, you know, the way he wanted to go, and they were
like, "Yeah,
oh, you've just come from that group, you're now in our group, we're going to fucking bash her. And it's like, dude, Australian. Australian.
Fuck it up.
Dude. Hey, we're going to hit the ride. We are JunkTimeAlphaPod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the gram. Go Hawkers.
And go Blues.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.